Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what God done for me. When he set me free. Oh, yeah. And whom the Son set free this morning is free indeed. I am happy to be back here today. Grateful unto Almighty God. I made the announcement that I needed some help with the trip this weekend. And I knew the Lord was going to do it. I just didn't know how. And all of a sudden, my son showed up and blessed me with the trip money. I'm grateful unto Almighty God, and I thank him again. I wanted to go to the prison on Saturday because Sunday I'd be in Kissimmee. And Sister Jerry showed up and blessed me to go to the prison on Saturday. So this is what I know. God is faithful. If we could remember, he is faithful. This morning, I want us, if we don't remember nothing else, if we don't remember nothing else, I don't care what comes your way. I don't care how it comes, who brings it, and what it is. Remember this, God has it all in control. He's got it all in control. The songwriter said he's got it in control, and he put that reassurance way, way down in my soul. God has it all in control. He hangs the stars in the sky. Hallelujah. He holds the water, the land back from the sea, hold the water back from the land. And if he can do all of this, hallelujah, surely he can take good care of you and I. God has it all in control. It's when we're looking at the situation and not looking at God that make us crazy, that make us want to move and be sad and depressed and this and that, you know. The enemy will come and tell us you can't do what you used to do. I remember you used to walk the floor when you was bringing the word on you, and I'm going to walk it again. I remember when you was younger, you could eat this and eat, you can't eat that now. So, you can't do this and I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. God has it all in control. And some things we needed to let go of anyway. Yeah, we needed to let that go. Because many things we were doing when we had what we had in our youthful age, we were doing wrong. We were sinning against God. We were sinning against our own bodies. We saved. We are sanctified. We've been set aside unto God. And we are filled with his spirit. So all of those things needed to go. And we tell God, thank you that he blessed us to get to the age, whatever it may be. It could be 13. We tell God, thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Because if it had not been for God on our side, where would we be today? Where would we be? But we're thankful that he's for us. His word said this night, and we need to hold on to this because some things are coming our way. I'm telling you that we're going to need every word that he spoke. Every promise that he made, we going to need to have it. I'm talking about it need to be in your heart, and you've been practicing this so it became a part of you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can't help what they say about me, what they do to me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus that loves me. Or they may do some stuff to you. But he's yet got it all under control, in control. God is in control. He made the heavens and the earth. So we're going to hear some stuff. Some things not so good going to come our way, but these are trials and they come to make us strong. The enemy wanted me to worry over the money. I'm just telling y'all. It may not be for you to go. It may be this, it may be that. Well, I done told the Lord about it, whatever it is. And let's see what he does. Now, if he does nothing, okay, I got to stay here. I want it to go anyway, but hey, if he don't provide, I can't do it. And if he don't provide, it's not for me. And it's a good thing because of this. He going to take good care of us. Oh, but he is. Very good care of us. And if it won't work together for your good, he's not allowing it. Now, that's what I learned. If it won't, I don't care how good it sounds, how good it feels to you, it looks like it's the thing to do. If it won't work together for our good, God will not allow it. And that's what I love about him. He is going to provide and take good care of his people. I don't care when the time is. It could be 5 years from now. It could be tomorrow. God is going to take good care of us. We don't have it to worry about. But see, we got to put some things into practice and prepare our hearts and minds and prepare ourselves right now. Because y'all think this little bit of a recession or whatever they're calling it, and prices going, you think there's something you haven't seen nothing yet. You have not seen anything yet. Wait till they get to the part where there is no food in the grocery store. Woo-wee! Wait till they get to the part of where you don't know which way a meal is coming from. I heard the prophet Brian Kahn tell me to go to my pantry. The shelves empty in my pantry. I ain't got no food in there. I don't have nothing in my freezer. I don't have nothing in my refrigerator. Brian said I could go to the pantry and lay hands on the pantry. Now, that's what he told me, and I believe it. And food will appear in my pantry. Hallelujah. Now, listen, you got to remember, I know people say, well, she crazy. No, no, sir, and no, ma'am. I remember when he put the money on the ground. If he could put the money on the ground for me, you mean to tell me I can't look in there and there's brown rice in my pantry and beans. And when I look in the refrigerator, there's butter and milk and eggs, and whatever I want, whatever I need. Y'all not going to tell me that. But he said, go ahead and prepare. Now, he did say that. Go ahead and prepare for what's coming. Hallelujah. Go ahead and fill your pantries. Yeah. Put stuff that lasts a long time in your pantries. You got to be careful who you open your doors for during that time. You got to guard your house and what's in your house, because people will be coming to break in. They don't care about killing you. They want what you got because they're trying to survive and they're trying to make sure their family survives. So we're going to pray, ask God to keep his protecting angels around our homes, that no hurt, harm, or danger will come to us. No calamity shall come to our dwelling. Listen, we out now. We can pray loud. I can be here on Blog Talk Radio talking loud. And talking about the goodness of the Lord and spreading the goodness of Jesus. But guess what? There's coming a day where they won't allow it. Yeah. If you're not a part of Satan's church, they don't want you to be a part of nothing else. Yeah. All that's coming about. We're going to hear some stuff this morning, but I want you to remember this. God has it all in control. No need for you to be scared. No need for you to be fearful. No need for you to say, oh, I don't know. What you need to do is get in the word. Seek his word more so you'll know what's going on. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get in the word more. Those who are not word believers, word lovers, word walkers, I won't have them no more. They'll find some other way to get their ears tickled. But we're seeking his word over here. For his word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. Sanctify us today through that truth. Father, your word is truth. And that's what we need. Because, see, if we don't know what's going on, it'll be surprising, shocking, fearful, and we'll suffer because we don't know what's going on. Some people have always kept food in their house. And that devil came up with a plan to outdate things quickly, quickly. Fake rice and fake lettuce and fake cabbage, just all kind of craziness. But somebody can tell yourself and point to yourself this morning and say, greater is he that lives within me than he that is in the world, and mean it. God is faithful. He's a door opener. He's a way maker. He is the way. And again this morning, remember this, God has it all in control concerning you. But if there was a time for you to pray and get your heart right with God, now is that time. Because any day now, all of this can be cut short. Any day now, you say you're a Christian, they can bust in your house and take you out of there and put you in prison. They could take you out of there and sentence you to death. Any day. I know, oh, not that quick. Listen, we went to bed one morning never thinking about a COVID, whatever it was, coronavirus. I had never heard of the foolishness. Wake up the next day, it's already here. And the more we got to see, it was all over the entire world, they said. But no calamity shall come nigh my dwelling. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus that loves me. And there are many more promises, but we got to get in the word to find them. All the exciting messages, yeah, that's good to hear, but we got to get in the word for ourselves. And some people don't like reading it alone. So we're going to see what's going on. I look back in Matthew's, the first chapter, Matthew's, I think it is, where he's listing off the generation of Jesus, the generation of Joseph, and a lot of those names we mentioned over in 1st and 2nd Samuel, those kings and all of those, a lot of that is right there. I forgot to tell you that. So we're going to get in the word, more in the word of God, so we'll know what's coming, so we'll know what we should be doing. And right now we should be preparing that if they cut my electric off, I got a generator. If they cut my electric off, I got flashlights, the big ones. And I got batteries to back them up. I got water stored up. I got non-perishable food stored up. And they get to the point of where families have to come together and live in one house. All of this kind of thing. I would like it myself. My family living, we all under the same roof. Yeah, whoever got the biggest house, we all go over there. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know if this thing gonna get back right or not. I don't think it will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we ended Wednesday's show, Tuesday's show with questions. About when did God cut off men from having all those women? And some people wanted to know, well, why men can have all of that, but women can't? Oh, boy. So let's pray this morning. And then after prayer, we're coming back with one more song. And then we're going to take a listen to our message of the day. And this is one from Dave Wilkerson. This is a vision that he had in 1973. And now when you hear this, in 1973, the vision is happening today. What he saw, what God showed him, has already taken place. And it's coming more and more into effect. We see it, I do, every day. I see children hate their parents. I had never seen nothing like that in my life. Who hate mom and daddy? Where you from? Parents love their children. And parents want you to have the best, even a bad parent. When it comes to their children and somebody else's child, they want their child to be number one. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, we know we got some bad parents that's been on drugs and, you know, overlooked the children and all kind of things. Some mothers, you know, they wasn't able to provide for their children by themselves, and things happen and all kind of stuff. But because they wasn't able to provide, it does not mean they didn't love the children. They just didn't have what this world needed to give to their children. They didn't have food, enough food for them. They didn't have enough clothes for them. They couldn't afford clothes and different things, you know. And many of them had sorry husbands. A lot of them had sorry baby daddies or whatever they call them. And it was just bad. So some things happened with the mother. And somebody else took the children. Yeah. But it could have been a case of this where she killed every child in the house. Because she couldn't provide for them. So she took their lives. And then took hers. That way she guaranteed nobody was left back here suffering. Yeah, all of that. And people come against women with this kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, it's the worst thing that could have ever happened. When a woman leave her children, huh, or give her children away. But what people don't understand, what was going on with that woman at that time? She couldn't provide for them, and rather than to starve them to death or kill everybody in the house, she gave them to the state. She gave them to relatives and walked away crying. Some women walked away knowing they would never, ever see their children again. Never. Knew where the children was. Even when the children got grown, they could not go and say nothing to those children for fear of what the child would do or think of them. Some women had such bad traumas in their lives. They became addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol because of the trauma that had taken place in their life. They needed to escape. It's the only way they could make it. Somebody said, well, they should have went to see a psychiatrist. Who think of that when you're going through like that? I'm talking about some trauma like you never been through. And see, when people haven't been through it, they can point their finger. They can downgrade the person. They can talk about it because you haven't been through that. But until you go through it, keep your mouth shut. And as believers, we pray. Yeah, we don't, ooh, girl, we don't do that. Because you never know what that person been through. I've seen women raped and lose their minds. The way that they were, they're no longer that way. I've seen women go through things and they refuse to open the door. And if you open the door, they have a fit. Who you letting in here? Yeah. Because of what they have gone through. So we don't want to talk about nobody. If we want to do anything, we want to pray for them. Sometimes losing a parent can be devastating. Yeah, some people never get over that because in their minds they realize I'll never see them again here on the earth. I love my mother. I love my father. I'll never get to see them again on the earth. It's so traumatizing. They don't remember that if they live right before God, they're going to get to see the parents again. So many times they choose to walk up right before God, and then when they get to heaven, I know it'll be a great surprise. Mama, daddy, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we learning to pray in this hour. Pray without ceasing. Listen, If ever there was a time to draw closer to the Lord, now is that time. Today is that day. I say it all the time. Because you can go to bed and wake up, with a whole nother world. You could be on your job working. And right before lunch, here come all of this stuff that you had no clue was coming today. And everything is out of your hand. Yeah. They can put out a call and say, if you need groceries, you better get on over there. Because if not, there won't be any. People hustling and bustling, fighting each other and all kind of stuff. And today, murders everywhere. People killing people look like just on GP. Just because they can do it. I'm talking about out front with violence between children and parents. Violence between husband and wives. I don't know about you, but I saw a lot of murders. Husband murdering the wives. Wives murdering the husband. Boyfriend killing girlfriend. Girlfriend killing boyfriend. Mothers killing children. It's already here. And the Antichrist has been here, but he's just bringing it out more and more. Some people killing themselves because they say, I lost my job. I can't afford this no more. I can't. And then those that are following the Joneses, they just lose their mind altogether because they were trying to show everybody what they had and what they could do. Y'all got this, I'm going to get it too. When a three-bedroom house would have sufficed for you, a four-bedroom smaller house, but they didn't know. They didn't know. They got in all of this debt for no reason. Some of them following the Joneses. Some of them following the pastors at these empires. Because they were telling the people, if you don't have this and you don't have that, then you don't have God. So people started working two jobs, three jobs. Or when the SUVs come out, everybody had to have one. You didn't need one, nobody but you. Or nobody but you and your husband, but you had to have an SUV. And then y'all had to have another car. Busy proving, you know, what you got. And busy showing the pastor you got God because you got all this stuff. Because you got stuff and things, that don't mean you got God. The devil give gifts too now. That's Hollywood. They told you the truth, which most likely they won't. But if they told you the truth, he gives some gifts. But he's a giver that come back for the stuff he gave. So we must be careful. And again this morning, I want to remind you, God has it all in control. If you have to suffer for the sake of Christ, go on through. God has it all in control. Because if we try to save our lives, we're going to lose them. If we go on and give it up for him to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. But yet God going to provide for people because the church is going to prevail. The church is going to get stronger. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about the church of God. Now, I'm not the house of prayer. I'm not talking about these empires where folks building, you know, building their own empires. They're just using the name of God, using the name of Jesus. How much entertainment have we seen in the house of God? How much entertainment have you... All of that. Look at here. In the house of God, we don't need entertainment because we should go seeking God. I looked at a movie called The Fighting Temptation. And that choir was dancing and boy, they had it going on. And the membership just started growing. People like entertainment. That's why Hollywood is so popular. That's why the movie industries make all this money. People like to be entertained. Netflix, Hulu, Vudu, live streaming, Paramount. It's just endless. Because people like to be entertained. Movies entertain people. So what they do, They brought entertainment in the church. It helps the membership grow. How many pastors get up every Sunday and preach the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus? How many of y'all hear that every Sunday? How many in church every Sunday hear, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that if we'll believe on him, we won't perish, but have everlasting life? Every Sunday. How many here every Sunday can God depend on you? It takes more than being saved. God is looking for faithful folks. How many hear that? How many here every Sunday we must walk in the Spirit of God that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh? Because nowadays they're making excuses. I heard a prosperity preacher talk about when you do this, he get like this. He get off his rocker. He want to, you know, act out. No, that's not what God said. If we got him in us, if we walking in the Spirit, we're going to behave ourselves in a certain way. And I don't care what nobody say. I know God saved me. I remember the time you would say something to me that I didn't like. It's time to fight. It's time to raise hell. Today, I can't even think of all of that. I mean, you say something, it may shock me a little bit, and I just look. You know, and I'm gone on. I don't have time for it. I know I've been changed from the inside. He gave me a new heart, a new mind, a new attitude, a new way of thinking. Old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new for me and you too. But we must begin to seek the word of God. We must begin to cry for the things of God. Cry out to the Lord to have what he said we as believers should have. Because what's coming our way, if we're not prepared, we are going to suffer and we may be lost. And he wished that none should perish. He don't want nobody going to hell. He don't want nobody dying in their sins. He sent his son that we don't have to do it. And many of us say we believe. But again, this morning, it takes more than being saved. It takes more than being believing, because we must be faithful. So if you believe his word and obey it. We got to be faithful unto him. I was sitting last night looking at Noah and the ark. And God told Noah to come up to this mountain, and he went up. Here I am, Lord. Lord, where you at? God, I'm here. I traveled a long ways to get here. See, we always telling God what we go through. We don't look back and remember what his son went through for us. We should have paid our own price. We wasn't able to. So God brought his son Jesus to pay that price for us. And we treat him like we treat people. We use us. Oh, well, he did that. It was his job. God sent him to do it. So what? No, no, no. I couldn't pay my bill. He paid my bill for me. Not only did he pay my bill for me, he yet going my bond until this day. Until this day, God is standing my bond. And I should give more to him and think on him more. I began to pray when I saw Noah. I said, Lord, daily. Don't let me just thank you every now and then through the day. Don't let me just thank you when you're blessing me. But Lord, all through the day, all through the night, let me talk to you. And Lord, help me that I keep my mind on you more. Help me to walk in the Spirit more. I got my new computer hooked up, but they got to do a few more things to walk me through, and then I'll be able to use this one, so I'm still on the old one. But I went in and cleaned and did whatever I needed to do so we could hear. So this morning, we're going to hear the vision that Dave Wilkerson shared in 1993, he had the vision. Not 2000, but 1973, God showed this man these visions, and they are coming to pass today. And that's when he shared it in 1973. He shared the vision. And I'm blessed to hear it in 2022. My goodness alive. See, because God don't want nobody to perish. He's sending his word. And his word healed them. But we got to let the word heal us. And stop worrying about what's going on in this natural life. This too shall pass. It's that eternal life, the life that lasts forever, we should be concerned about. What are we doing for the life? See, it's like this. When you're younger, you're not studying retirement. Oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-dee, we going on. But that awful day shows up. We live to be 65. And what did we do for our retirement? So we do God like that. We going on and he going to take care of everything and yada, yada, yada. And he parts the sky. All of this calamity comes. The world done flipped upside down two times and spin around about 80 in the wrong direction. And when it stopped, we in a situation that God told us about, and we wouldn't be in that had we been prepared. Had we stopped having a form of churchness and denying the power of God. We got a form of ministry. We got a form of a believer. And we denying the power thereof. The scripture says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. We must seek God with our whole heart. We must seek his word. And I know some people, you know, they just want a word from the Lord. They want a message, a total message. Maybe from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 6 through 15, whatever they want. You haven't lived what he already gave you. You haven't gotten that into control yet. You don't even understand. But yet all you want is message after message. We going to the word over here. I'm playing this one today because I want you to know what is already here and what's further coming. But we're going to get in the word of God and study his word. Learn what he said. Because if not, when all of this show up, our mouth open. Close your mouth. And in some instances, it may be too late for you to, you know, seek out somebody who can really help you. You left alone now. He said, work while it's day. Night is coming. And when night come, no man can see. Seek God while he yet can be found. Seek him while he can be found. Glory to his majesty. Matthew 10 and 22 says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Did you hear that? You're going to have to endure. If you miss that first go round, you're going to have to endure this thing to the end. They're going to offer you sixes. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. You can't go to church. It'll be one church, a church of the devil. And if you don't know what the word of God say and truly know God for yourself, you will be in the church of the devil thinking you're in the church of God. It's happening right now. Many are going to the church of empire. And thinking they going to the house of prayer. They don't have no discernment. Because they're not seeking God. They're seeking the pastor. They're seeking a word from God. They're seeking the prophet. At my church, we do it this way. They're seeking entertainment. They're seeking everything but Almighty God that have power. I'm just telling you the truth. And it's a day coming, you're going to look back on some things and say, my goodness, I couldn't understand what Sister Barbara was saying. But here it is in my face. I heard that woman say, yeah, it's my job to tell you the truth. It's my job to tell you the truth. I don't want to be held accountable for you. And I didn't tell you the truth because they may not understand. They may not come to the show no more. I can't help it. You just have to go. Because the truth got to come forth out of me. Yeah. When I stand before him, and then before I stand before him, if I don't give you the truth, many things are going to happen. Those that are watering down, sugarcoating, and bringing all the entertainment and all of that, their lives are not whole here. I go to sleep at night. I don't have to worry about who I mistreated. I don't have to worry about who I bamboozled or swindled. I don't have any of that to worry about. I can go anywhere out in the world I want to go. I ain't got to worry about nobody. Say, there she is, that liar. Nope, I don't have that to worry about. Because people belong to God, all of us. We belong to God. And if I come with some foolishness for you, God going to come with something for me. And boy, look at here. I don't want to fall in the hand of an angry God because he loves his people. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because it's him that can change the hearts of men. That's a generic term, man or woman, boy or girl. Looking at the parable of the 10 virgins with the lamp and the oil. Remember that? Five was wise and five was foolish. The wise trimmed the lamps and the wick in the lamp and thing and had it filled with oil. So when the bridegroom come and the wedding began, they could go in for the wedding. Well, before the wedding began, they could go in and prepare to see the wedding. But the foolish, they didn't do that. So their lamps was running out of oil. They had to leave and go get some oil. And when they got back, the door was shut. Hey, the wedding was already being performed. You missed out. So we don't want to be the five foolish. We want to be the five wise. We want to prepare today. We want to begin our preparation now. Yeah. Get you some non-perishable food. Get you some water. Get you some candles, flashlight, matches, whatever you need. I got all kind of stuff. Ooh, God is faithful. Lewis sent me a water filtration system. And this can even be for outdoors. This is for outdoors. Yeah. I got stuff because I said somebody going to need some help. And you're going to even have to be careful helping people because you don't know who's coming to rob you and who's not. You can't come here. I put it down 3 blocks away on the corner and sit away from it till you get it. You know, and keep people away from it till you come and get it. But you can't come here. I'm already prepped. Yeah. And now is that time. And you know what? The seniors, God has given you more if you got the right advantage plan. United Healthcare is one of the great plans. And for seniors that receive the EBT, what they call the food stamps, that healthy food card stretches that food. And you can prep so you'll always have some food for yourself. People with dogs, I feel bad for you. You won't be able to eat. You think you're going to feed a dog? Would you feed a dog before you feed your child? One lady says she preferred to deal with the animals than to deal with people. She said because people have lost their mind. And her dog don't treat her like that and don't act like that. I said, my goodness. Some of them are calling the dog brothers and sisters, my son, my daughter, and it's a dog. We turn to this? Human beings turn to this? I'm not going to put no dog before people. I don't care how bad you is. I'm going to pray for you. And if I touch you, your mind going to get right. Go on somewhere. I'm not putting no dog before nobody. That's these folk who don't know God. And they don't know what his word says. And they don't understand what love means. For God is love. I asked him one morning, what would it take for me to go back with you? He took me to 1 John, the 4th chapter. Love. I got a love to go back with him. Even love my enemies. So let's seek God with our whole heart. Don't seek man. Don't seek these books and all these different people. But let's seek the heart of God. Let's seek the face of God. Forget all of that. But there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. But if you get instructions from God, oh, you're going to be in good shape. And you haven't heard from him and you don't understand because you haven't been seeking him. Or you've been seeking him for what you want, the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Lord, they threatening to fire me on my job. Lord, they saying we might be laid off. Oh, you're seeking him for stuff and things. But I need you to seek him for spiritual guidance, for leadership, spiritual leadership. And we will be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's pray this morning the prayer of faith. We're going to one more song after prayer, and then we're going to the message of the day, the 1973 vision of Dave Wilkerson. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come boldly before your throne of grace to make our petition known unto you. Father, we thank you this morning that we don't have to get caught up into the hype. We don't have to get caught up into church. But Father, we want to be caught up into you and your word and obedience. We want to be caught up into living the way that you would have us to live daily. Father, we want to get caught up in the spreading the good news of your son, Jesus. For you so loved the world that you sent him. And whoever will receive your son has received you. And your son will set them free. We thank you this morning, Father, that we can be great witnesses unto you, for you wish none should perish. Father, our minds are on so many other things and what the flesh is after. Lord, help us to seek what the Spirit requires, your Spirit, the Holy Ghost, what it requires today. Help us to seek you. Help us to repent, turn from our wicked ways, Father. Whatever it costs us today, help us to get it done in you. Help us to look at Jesus and all that he did. He said, you sent him and he come to do the will of him that sent him, and you sent him. He said, if we didn't believe on him, believe on the works that he did. Father, he healed the sick. He blessed the lame to walk. He raised the dead. All that he did, we can do that and more. Help us today. Help us to take our eyes out of the world and put our eyes in your word and to walk according to your spirit this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, greater things are coming. Persecution is coming. Sufferings are coming. Help us, Lord, to prepare that we can stand. Lord, money may go away. Bartering may be the thing that comes back. There's nothing new under the sun. This has happened before. But Lord, we want to seek you. Again, this morning, we want to seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. If we ask you to forgive us, your faith and just to forgive us and put it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it again. We thank you this morning for all you've done already. Thank you for what you're doing right now. And Father, we thank you for what you're going to do, great and mighty things. Thank you, Lord, that you hear this morning. And not only you hear, but Father, we are believing you to answer. For we need thee. Oh, we need thee. Every second, every minute, every hour, Father, we need you. For without you, we can do nothing. Help us to remember these things, Lord. Help us to remember what your word said. Help us to remember your promises. Help us to remember that no matter what, you have it all in control. Help us to remember it takes more than being saved and believing that, God, we must be faithful unto you. Not simply because if we're faithful, you'll give us a crown of life that will never fade away. But Lord, you're looking for faithful workers. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we ask you this morning to send more laborers. But Father, remember the labor that you called and chose us for. Help us today to get real with you. For you are already real with us and you love us. Help us today. We have no excuses, Lord, for falling away. We have no excuses for falling short. Forgive us this morning. For all our sins, procrastination, wrongdoings, not opening our mouth to witness. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for seeking to please the flesh and not the spirit. Forgive us this morning. Father, forgive us for trying to use you. We want to seek your face. We want to do what's right before you because our flesh is going through. Lord, help us not to be those people. But help us to seek you because it's right to do right this morning. Hallelujah. Help us to love you with our whole hearts today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We can't tell you thank you enough. We appreciate you this morning. We're grateful unto you. And Father, we love you. It was you who first loved us. This is the day that you made, Father. We will rejoice and be glad in this day. Hey, thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Stir up the gifts in us. Stir up our hearts and mind in your word, God. And what's to come? What's even coming? Stir us up, oh God. And we'll seek you like never before in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning I bow down and bring every call and every listener before you. And I ask today, Lord, that you would bless your people. You know what they stand in need of. And Father, you supply need according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you right now. Give your people the mind and heart of how to prepare for what's coming. Lord, increase their faith. Increase their trust in you in the name of Jesus. And strengthen them, oh God, as you're increasing their faith and trust in you. That God, they will stand every trial that come their way in the name of Jesus. Bless their families. Bless their friends. Father, today I ask that you would put a hedge of protection around their children like never before. Loose your protecting angels. That God, you protect their ears, their eyes, their hearts, their minds today, oh God. In the name of Jesus, even their adult children, moved by your spirit this morning. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Do it for the grandchildren, the great-grands, oh God. Every child in the family, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you this morning for hearing, and we thank you for answering. Father, we ask that you would heal those that are here that are sick this morning, those that are not feeling well. We bind up the spirit of diabetes and high blood pressure, kidneys and livers and infections and headaches and cancer, AIDS, anything, any sickness. We bind it up and cast it back to the pits of hell. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake this morning. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power. Father, you took a beating for the healing of the nation. It's you that heal all manner of sickness and disease. And Father, we're counting it done in you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. We bring those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military, widowers and bereaved families, Father, intercessory prayer people, preachers everywhere, Father, preaching in the name of Jesus and obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, we bring Israel and Jerusalem before you. Ask that you will continue to loose your protecting angels, God, to stand watch, to shield and protect them. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Do it for our brothers and sisters everywhere overseas. Those that have to hide, Lord, and do Bible study. Those that have to hide and pray, God. those that have to hide and have church. Lord, they can only praise and worship you in their minds and their hearts. They can't mention you or your word out loud. Lucian protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect them, God. Keep them, Lord, from all hurt, harm, or danger. Let no calamity come now their dwelling in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless all our brothers and sisters overseas. Move for them like never before, oh God. Lord, open doors and make ways for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Feed your people, God. Bless their children, Lord. Many desire a job, Lord, that they would have an income. You know what they're standing in need of, and you know their countries are different. But God bless our brothers and sisters. We cry out for them today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we ask this morning that you would continue to bless these United States of America, although they are separated, it appears. That wasn't your plan, God. You put it together. Bless the United States. Bless the leadership. Lord, forgive us for all our sins and wrongdoings. Forgive us this morning. And God, help us to come back to you wholeheartedly. On our knees in repentance unto you. Godly sorry for what we've done. Wake your people up today, Father. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord. Father, bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning. Have your way here today. Move by your spirit like never before. Give us clarity, oh God. Give us understanding and wisdom of your word as Dave Wilkerson come forth. Lord, help us to see. Teach us how to prepare in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you this morning. Have your way here. Oh, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you glory. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. I could hear this. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Hey, glory. And sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. I can hear that. Lose all, I can say in an early morning voice, their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I pray that as we lift him up, sinners will come and plunge beneath that blood. Hallelujah. And lose all their guilty stains. So that when the time come, we can stand together. God have an army. Oh, plenty. But the more the merrier. And he wished that none should perish. Listen here. Whatever you can teach your grandchildren about God, teach them. Whatever you can teach your great-grand, teach them about Jesus. And you may think that that child will forget, but I promise you when the time comes, it'll show up in them. You may be dead and gone, but they find out they need God. Hallelujah. They will come back to him. Because in this hour, it's pitiful for young people. It's pitiful for children. Ooh, that devil done cooked up and got so much stuff going on, it's a shame. Hallelujah. Yeah, I love that song, Brother Louis. Oh, Dewey Smith sang it, but I might play him in a minute. But listen, let's go to this one this morning. And when we come back, we're coming back with Pastor Dave Wilkerson. I call him Dave Wilkerson, but he's the man of God. Yeah. And so when we come back, we are coming back with him. All right, let me find my song here. All right, let's go to this one.
Donna Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers featuring that girl, LeAndrea Johnson.
Listen, when a person becomes a believer, their spirit is made right. But sometimes the heart realm, the soul realm, the mind realm is a little slow getting the message because life has left a hole in it due to molestation, low self-esteem, abuse. But I came to tell you that God has come to heal the hole in your soul. My sister Leandria is going to help me with this story. Take your time, sister. Sing it for somebody.
Deliver me.
Rescue me from myself.
All I seem to do is hurt me.
Anybody overthink a lot? Overthink a lot. That hurts you.
Hurt me.
That's right. Now let's take it up and cry out. Say. Yes, sir.
Deliver me.
Take your time.
Cause all I seem to do is hurt me.
Anybody out there got that message?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hurt me.
We should be finishing it, but I need you to just say it one more time. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we got to get on our knees and just say, God, rescue me from myself. The best is still yet to come for you. This is your exodus starting right now at this very moment. This is it. This is it. One more time, choir. One more time. This is. Take it up there. This is. If you know it. Here we go. This is.
Lord, I thank you. You gave me tears at the chance.
ladies and gentlemen, please, please show some love for Donna Lawrence, the Tri-City Singers, and this gift right here, Miss LeAndrea Johnson. Thank you, brother. Thank you for coming.
All right. I like that song. And she can sing. Yes, she can. I give her that. God bless her. What a wonderful gift. And I'm looking for Pastor Dave Wilkerson. Y'all forgive me. I did not download him. I downloaded him, but I didn't put him in the studio. It's okay. We rolling on. We rolling on in Jesus.
Jesus, we desperately need your power, your strength to do what you've asked me to do tonight. I ask humbly now to give me the courage and help me to say it from my heart without fear and trembling. In Christ's name, amen. God's placed me here tonight to warn of the coming hour of persecution. The Holy Spirit is my witness. This convention tonight is being warned here and now of an intense hour of persecution for all spirit-filled believers. You're to prepare to be hated, rejected, maligned, and ridiculed. Now, if you believe Acts 2:4 about a special doing of the power from on high, then you've got to also believe Acts 2:17. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. I saw a vision this past April. So frightening, it staggered my mind. And for the past 3 months, I've tried to shake it off, but I can't do it. It's true in my life. The first 15 years ago, took me to the streets of New York, and every fact of that vision has been fulfilled. I've been terribly afraid to share this vision up till tonight for fear I'd be called a fanatic. But the same Holy Ghost that prompted me 12 years ago to share the story of the cross and switchblade has prompted me tonight to share this vision with you. In this vision, I saw five terrible calamities coming to America and the world. First of all, a worldwide recession caused by economic confusion. I saw in my vision at most a few more fat, flourishing years and then an economic recession that's going to affect the lifestyle of every wage earner in the world. The world economists are going to be at loss to explain what's happening. It's going to start in Germany, spread to Japan, and finally to the United States. Large and trusted corporations are going to go bankrupt. Many churches are going to go into bankruptcy. And some missionary projects are going to flounder. And one of the clearest messages I've ever received from God in my life is this. Use the next few good years left to prepare for financial crises. Get your house in order because hard times are coming. Number two, I saw nature having labor pains. Supernatural signs and changes that can't be explained by men. Worldwide disasters that we're witnessing right now, I see as labor pains in nature, which are going to become more and more frequent and more intense the closer we get to the birth of the kingdom of God. I saw major earthquakes coming to the United States. I saw worldwide famine, especially in China, India, and Russia. I saw the world's food supplies completely dwindled, millions starving. I saw coming a new kind of cosmic storm appearing as a raging fire in the sky, leaving a kind of vapor trail. Tornadoes, hailstorms, floods, and hurricanes are going to pound the earth with such intensity and violence that all of mankind is going to have to admit the world is under supernatural siege. Number three, a flood of filth and a baptism of dirt in America. I see the prophecy of Nahum coming to pass in the very near future. God said, I'll pour abominable filth upon you. This means triple X-rated movies on cable television after midnight. This means R-rated movies within the next few years on network television. This means our newsstands are going to be flooded with such filth that Playboy magazine will look like a puritanical piece of trash. It means sex education classes in school will be using animated cartoons and film dramatized sexual intercourse. And just when it appears there's going to be a successful campaign against smut, Just when the Supreme Court seems to be ruling against pornographers, when it appears the nation is returning to old-fashioned moral standards, suddenly the floodgates are going to swing open, and Satan is going to vomit filth out of hell, and it'll be just as it was in the days of Lot, and will vex the soul of God's most divine saints. Number four, rebellion in the home. I see the new number one youth problem in America and the world as hatred toward parents. Now, I'm reading this tonight for fear I change a single word of what I've seen and had to write down as the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. A man's worst enemies will be they of his own household violence. Children are going to turn against their parents with a passion. Parents are going to be betrayed and will die a thousand deaths at the hands of children who've learned to despise hypocrisy. There could be millions of stay-at-home runaways who need not go away anymore and run away from home because their parents are going to give them what they choose and what they want as long as they stay home. Kids will not even be expected to communicate with their parents. They will live under the same roof, but will be like enemies at war living under a truce. This is the clearest vision I've ever seen in my life. It's going to be bigger than drug addiction, bigger than sex abuse, or alcohol, or any other youth problem. And in a recent survey we did, 5,000 kids in 12 major cities, over 45% said, I hate my parents already. Number five, a persecution madness against truly spiritual Christians who love Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have time tonight to go into all the details of these four calamities I've just mentioned. However, the Holy Spirit is prompting me tonight to go into detail and share with you what I see coming in the way of persecution. Now, it was Jesus himself who told us to tarry for Pentecost. Jesus himself told us the Holy Ghost would fall upon us. Jesus himself promised us power from on high. But it was also Jesus Christ himself who predicted persecution was coming for all true spirit-baptized believers. Jesus predicted it. John 15, 19. Jesus said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of this world, and I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. Remember the word that I said to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Here is another one. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child. Children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. He shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, run to another, because I tell you, you will not have done over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he fears his master. Now, the purpose of this coming persecution that I see in the Spirit would be to separate and scatter the true believers from the false. Time is running out, and the gospel still has to be preached to all nations before Jesus comes. Now the Holy Ghost has been poured out upon thousands. But just as in the early Pentecostal outpouring, disciples still sit around singing and rejoicing and sharing only with each other. Among us are still those who talk in tongues and still live like the devil. But he's going to lay the axe to the root. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to scatter his seed to the far corners of the earth. And God's word will be fulfilled. 2 Timothy 3:12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You quote the scripture, they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. They shall speak with tongues. Go all the way if you're going to be a charismatic Christian. Read it all, accept it. All, A-double-L-L. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now let me share with you what the Holy Spirit revealed to me in vision concerning this persecution. Number one, it's going to come as a persecution madness on the earth. I see now persecution coming such as mankind has never before witnessed. This will be a persecution of true Jesus believers, and it's going to rise like a many-headed monster out of the sea. It'll start slowly, subtly, coming at a time when religious freedom appears to be at a peak. but it's going to spread the United States, Canada, the entire world, and finally become a kind of madness. That madness is already upon us. The Antichrist spirit is entering the hearts of certain men in high places already. Government, in the judicial system, and it's led to a spiritual wickedness in high places. And this spiritual wickedness in high places will eventually and soon lead to an harassment not only of officials, but those in churches, missionaries, and ministers. There's already evidence of this harassment. I see a time coming when nearly all evangelical missionary projects, all religious radio and television programming, all incorporated missionary societies are going to be so closely monitored, questioned, and badgered by government agencies, they'll be cautious and worried about moving or expanding in any direction. Number two, I see rising a super world church. I see the formation of a super world church council consisting of a union between liberal ecumenical Protestants and the Roman Catholic Church, joining politically hand in hand to create one of the most powerful religious forces on earth. And this union is going to start as a cooperative charity program and it will end in a political union. This visible super world church is going to be spiritual in name only, freely using the name of Jesus Christ, but will in fact be anti-Christ and political in many of its activities. This powerful church union will be deeply involved in social action, tremendous charity programs, and ministries of compassion. Its leaders will make statements about meeting human needs. They'll send out a call for social action, political intervention, and a greater voice in world affairs. There's going to be, fourthly, a sudden, mysterious chain of events. Just when it appears the ecumenical movement is nearly dead, a rather mysterious chain of events will bring about the framework for this union. Rome is going to insist upon and receive concessions from the Protestant ecumenical leaders. The Pope will be considered more of a political rather than a spiritual leader of this church union. Protestant leaders of the ecumenical movement are going to insist upon and receive concessions from Rome. Protestants will not be asked to consider the Holy Father as the infallible head of the church. They accept his political leadership without accepting his role as Peter's successor. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Pope or any of these church leaders involved in the super church will be engaging in antichrist activity. The Bible talks about something about that line, but I can't get into it now. The Bible, as far as I'm concerned, though, I see something that frightens me to the very core of my soul. I see an army of career people invading the most influential post in the super church. They're going to be ungodly antichrist people, obsessed with the idea that this super church must become a big political power, strong enough to defeat anybody who opposes its actions. And while those that are in leadership are speaking about miracles and love and reconciliation, these hirelings who work under them are going to be harassing and persecuting every religious organization that does not come under their leadership.
Most of the domestic groups that we have to pay attention to here are white supremacist groups. They're anti-government, in most cases anti-abortion. They are usually survivalist type in nature, identity oriented. If you recall, Buford Furrow came to Los Angeles in, I believe it was 1999, when he went to three different Jewish institutions, museums, and they wound up shooting people at a children's community center, and then shooting a Filipino postal worker later on. Matthew Hale, who's the Pontifex Maximus of the World Church of the Creator out of Illinois, and Ben Smith, who went on a shooting spree in three different cities where he killed a number of African Americans and Jews and Asians that day. Those groups are groups that claim to be extremely anti-government and Christian identity oriented.
Fourthly, I see homosexuals and lesbians welcome to the super church union. I see this super world church in the guise of understanding accepting homosexuals and lesbians into its fellowship. Homosexual and lesbian love will be vindicated by the leadership of this church union. Homosexuals will not not only be welcomed, but they'll be encouraged to continue in their practices. Homosexual and lesbian ministers will not only be ordained and given places of authority, they'll be heralded as a new breed of pioneer evangelists introducing new concepts of love and evangelism. I see in nearly every major city in the United States and around the world, homosexual churches catering exclusively to the spiritual needs of their own kind with full recognition from organized religion. Their Sunday school and church literature distributed to their children will suggest to teenagers that homosexuality is a normal and acceptable form of Christian practice. New dancing in the church. New dancing in some of these member churches will be excused as an artistic form of worship. Men are going to become worshipers of the creature more than the creator. And God will be forced to give these kind of worshipers over to their sins. And as a result, many will be given over to reprobate minds, creating a new form of mental illness that will not respond to any kind of treatment. Now, God will not let that go unanswered. And although new dancing will not become widespread, it's going to be accepted by many church leaders in the future as a legitimate expression of worship. Next, occult practices within this church. I believe this super world church will condone certain occult practices. They'll set up study committees to defang the devil, to remake his image into one of a non-entity, bland, someone not to be feared. Now, in some of the most respected, wealthy churches in America, seances will replace prayer meetings, and that's already happening. More and more ministers are going to be intrigued by the supernatural claims of the spiritualist and Satanist groups. And I see the day coming when certain ministers who've never been too close to Jesus will get very close to the devil. Satan is going to appear as an angel of light to deceive everyone, possibly the elect, the chosen of God. Satan's own ministers will appear as these angels, and they'll try to spread the message within the church that the enemy, Satan, is not to be feared. The super church will never officially accept the occult practices outright, but phrenology, palmistry, fortune telling, and horoscopes will be widely respected and accepted. Now, listen closely. Next, I see the rise of another super church. A supernatural, invisible church, a union of deeply spiritual followers of Jesus Christ, bound together through the Holy Spirit, mutual confidence in Christ and his word. The supernatural church of true believers will become a kind of underground church and will include Catholics and Protestants of all denominations, young and old, black and white, and people of all nations. And while this visible super world church gains political power, this invisible body of believers will grow tremendously in spiritual power. Power will come from persecution. The persecution madness that's coming upon this earth will drive these Christians closer together and closer to Jesus Christ. There will be less concern about denominational ties and more concern and emphasis on the coming of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will bring together in one all people of all faiths and walks of life. And although the supernatural church already exists around the world, in the days coming soon, it will become politically almost invisible. It will not speak out much on social issues, but as persecution becomes more intense, this body of true believers will become almost radical in its evangelistic efforts, and in this invisible church will receive supernatural unction and Holy Ghost power to preach the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Next. Persecution for charismatic Catholics. This makes me tremble. And I fought with the Lord for 3 weeks now saying, I can't say it. The Lord said, you say it. Charismatic Catholics who consider themselves members of the invisible supernatural church of Jesus Christ face the most grievous hour of persecution of all. I predict in the spirit it's about to pull in the welcome mat to all Catholics who speak with tongues and lean toward the Pentecostal teachings concerning the Holy Spirit. High-level political pressure will be placed on priests and local level to put the fire out. Watch for the Pope to take a negative stand against the charismatic movement within the Catholic Church. The honeymoon is about over. Catholic magazines will soon begin to speak out against the movement within its ranks and call for a purging. It will begin as a very slow trend, but will gather quick momentum until all Catholics in this movement will eventually face real persecution from within their own church. The charismatic movement within the Catholic Church will become so powerful and widespread, it will appear to some leaders as a threat to those who don't understand what it means. I see more than 500,000 involved in the Catholic charismatic movement in a short time. And those not in the movement will accuse it of lacking social concern and being too oblivious to the traditions of the church. They'll be accused of turning away from the Virgin Mary and negating the authority of the Pope. And that every charismatic Catholic who boasts about a baptism of the Holy Ghost prepare for persecution. It's not going to happen overnight, but most assuredly the day is coming when every single Catholic who's experienced a spiritual awakening will have to understand where his loyalties are. Some will be forced to return to tradition and allow the experience to be frozen. Many others, however, will soon discover that they have more Christian love, fellowship, and spiritual rapport with other spiritual Protestants and Catholics who have now centered their lives around the person of Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and his soon return. Many will not believe me, but I see the day when Catholics, Lutherans, and many others of all denominations are going to have to come out from among them. These new Christians will not call themselves Protestant or Catholic, but simply renewed Christians. Their fellowship will not be based on the experience of speaking with tongues, but will be centered on the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That is our fellowship. Number 9, I see a persecution through a media struggle. There is at present tremendous freedom for preaching the gospel on radio and television. Never the door has been more open to minister Christ in the media. Christians even own and operate their own radio and TV stations. They're at liberty to pray for the sick, raise money, and promote the gospel in any way they see fit. So watch out. Persecution and harassment is already beginning. There's a sound of change in the air. Christ-centered radio and TV programming will become the target of satanic forces determined to force every one of them off the airwaves. Already, there's a behind-the-scenes movement to establish a kind of rating system for all religious radio and TV programming. And the liberal leaders of this super church council will soon attempt to establish a kind of screening board and force themselves on the FCC as the final authority on all paid and sustaining religion on the media. They want no program to be aired without their approval. The doors are now wide open and slowly but surely going to close. Christian radio and TV stations should begin to expect persecution or harassment. Atheistic and antichrist forces are even now preparing litigation against certain religious stations. And I see Satan trying to bog down these programs and stations in red tape, legal proceedings, and tax problems. And Satan will use every tactic at his disposal to remove all Christ-centered programs from the media. And the message I have for all of you who minister in the media is this from the Holy Spirit. Work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And that's a message for the media. Persecution from Hollywood. Watch for Hollywood to step up its attack against true religion with more expose-type films. The film Marjo was the most brazen attempt by the devil to put down and ridicule all religion having to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. Never in American history was it done before. Revivalists and evangelical ministers are going to be stereotyped as Elmer Gantries, charlatans, thieves, money-mad comedians. More and more movie makers are going to attempt to debunk our morals. Gospel-preaching churches and ministers are going to come under special attack, while at the same time, the occult and witchcraft will be glorified and sensationalized. Next, persecution from television comedies, TV comedy shows, The Holy Spirit has told me to become bolder and bolder, and we'll poke fun at Christ and all true Christians. Comedy writers are going to strike out blow after blow designed to put down sacred traditions. And eventually these shows will be punctuated with four-letter words, and anything will go on television. Television programmers will become absolutely blasphemous. And millions of unbelievers will sit in front of their TV sets laughing and mocking as subjects once considered sacred are undermined and mocked and ridiculed. And last night on the Today Show, it was brought home so vividly as impressionist David Fry maliciously mocked Billy Graham as a money raiser and a money grabber. Made my blood boil. Marjo sat there mocking Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, and it came home to me so hard. David, this is just the beginning. Talk shows everywhere. Movies, theaters, debunking, wasting his blood and glorifying the devil. Next, persecution through taxation of churches. And you listen to me. This coming attempt to tax churches and church-related organizations. These atheistic forces, with the help of the Civil Liberties Union, they're going to push this matter to the Supreme Court. They're going to have a temporary setback, but it's not going to stop them from pressing for congressional action. And a legal setback in the courts will not stop it. In spite of court decisions, we are eventually going to have taxation of our churches. I see it coming as an insignificant, very small kind of property tax, but it's soon going to burgeon into a monster-sized tax that will push some independent churches and missionary societies to the brink of bankruptcy. The IRS, Internal Revenue Service, one day I see becoming one of the most powerful weapons against the Church of Jesus Christ. It would then be possible for government agencies to maintain a stranglehold on churches. And government agencies, even now, are delving into the private books of almost every nonprofit religious organization in America, including ours right now. Every part of it's going to be political harassment, red tape, acute financial problems. Federal and state aid is going to come with more and more strings attached to it. Secondly, an almost unexplainable student mood, apathy, unrest, and disrespect for leadership. Thirdly, you can expect the faculty to be infiltrated by teachers and professors who have become the unwitting tools in the hands of Satan to undermine the foundations of faith and leadership. Satan is going to attempt to wrest the leadership of these schools and institutions out of the hands of true men of God and place them in the hand of compromising liberals who will not attempt to check the movement toward agnosticism. The leadership of Christian educational institutions had better prepare themselves for difficult times financially and spiritually. Next, the Jesus Revolution is going to go sour. The Jesus Revolution will become a Jesus Revulsion movement. Oh, hear me. My friend, I have never in my life ministered with more of the unction of the Holy Spirit. I've never felt more divinely called to speak his word than I do here and now. And the Spirit of God upon me, and I prophesy now and hear it. The Jesus Revolution among young people will stagnate, and undisciplined followers are going to return to their drugs, their free sex, and their old ways of life. Persecution is coming to separate the sheep from the goats, and only totally surrendered disciples will be left standing when the fog clears. The time is soon coming when it will no longer be popular to be a Jesus person. The Jesus songs will not be on the hit parade. His name will no longer be a commercial asset to Broadway or Hollywood. The world that once used the name of Jesus so promiscuously is going to turn on him and put him down. I see a replay of the first recorded Jesus movement in history. Remember when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey to the hurrahs and the hosannas and the praises of thousands that were caught up in this Jesus movement? Young people, ripped branches from palm trees and spread their jackets on the ground so little donkey could walk over. They cried, Jesus, Jesus, Hosanna, our King is coming. But that first Jesus movement soon went sour. A very short time later, that same Jesus stood before that same angry crowd, and now they were screaming, crucify him, away with him. The same crowd turned against him. The modern Jesus movement has had its crowds and its excitement. They sang the praises of Jesus, and Jesus was reeling in. But look what's happening now. The joy poppers are going back to drugs. And a Jesus revulsion movement is now springing up as a result of the occult practices of young people in our schools. Young devil worshippers have started nucleus of hate Christ clubs in our schools already. Hate Christ clubs is to harass Jesus people and refute the claims of Jesus Christ. All but friends, out of this Jesus movement is coming a hardcore of Jesus people completely given over their old ways of life. They've forsaken their old habits. And they've committed their lives to service to Jesus Christ. And my message to you, Jesus people, today is loud and clear. Get ready to be persecuted. Prepare to face these hate Christ clubs in your schools. In many places, Christian young people who take an open stand for Christ will be verbally stoned by those their own age. This revulsion movement against Christ is going to be personally directed by the devil himself. And carried out by those who are committed to his worship. Jesus people are going to be not only considered freaks, they're going to be called all manner of names. They're going to be spat upon in the corridors of high schools and college campuses. And the day will come when Bibles will be put from their arms and ripped apart by a laughing crowd of mockers. The harassment's going to eventually become so violent and widespread that Christian young people will either harden themselves like steel and stand up and witness against it, or crumble before it and deny their faith. And this is what persecution is all about. I see coming also a spiritual awakening behind the iron and bamboo curtains. While the free nations are experiencing this wave of persecution, the iron and bamboo curtain countries will experience a short period of spiritual awakening. Those who have lived under terrible religious persecution are going to enjoy a limited time of freedom. God's Holy Spirit's going to split the iron and bamboo curtains, and he's going to seek out and find hungry hearts in Western China and Eastern Europe, no doubt about it. God's promise to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. He did not exclude these nations. God is bringing to pass a temporary truce between the East and the West, for the express purpose of getting the gospel into these communist countries. Japanese and Korean Christians will be used of God to reach thousands in China. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in West Germany is to reach through to East Germany. The outpouring that's taking place in Finland now is destined to spread through northern Russia. The tremendous move of the Holy Spirit. Ironically, while the doors are beginning to close on this side of the curtain, the doors will open on the other. And after a short period of freedom and spiritual awakening, the doors will suddenly close and those nations cast into horrible persecution. Finally, one of the most important of all, and this comes down close to every pastor and every Christian in this building, I see already started. Now, many of these things I've talked about tonight are mountain peaks that I've seen. I do believe that they will all be fulfilled in this generation. Not all at the same time. Some of these things beginning to happen even now. But one thing that is already upon us, I see clearly. I see a gossip war. I know now that Satan has declared war on every true minister of Jesus Christ. He's going to leave no stone unturned in his attempt to discredit and shipwreck every man of God who's determined to stay true. Those ministers and priests who refuse to cheat on their wives, they refuse to indulge in the freedom of the new morality, they're going to be the target of the most vicious, malicious gossip of all times. The devil's going to raise up gossip mongers to harass and malign and lie against you. I believe that Billy Graham and other big gospel ministers throughout the world are going to get more and more ridicule, gossip, and misunderstanding by the press and by liberal people in the media. Every motive is going to be questioned. Every statement is going to be examined and cross-examined. They're going to be mocked and maligned by comedians on television. And ministers who once thought they had no enemies in the world will one day wake up to find out that someone's talking about them. They won't understand where it comes from. Pastors of churches especially are going to face the most malicious gossip of all. There will be innuendos, lies, false statements that will float around that come from the very pits of hell. It will be a supernatural demonstration of demonic power. There will not be a single true minister of the gospel in you. And the wives, hear me now, the wives of those ministers who are married are also going to come under the attack of malicious gossip. Legions of lying spirits have been turned loose upon the world with the single purpose of accusing Christians through gossip and slander to rob them of their victory and faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This gossip war will not only be aimed against ministers, but against every true spirit-filled believer of Jesus Christ. Even the teenagers are going to see what it's like to face malicious gossip. And now, I come to my final word from the Lord. You have no idea. You could not begin to know the battle I've had to stand here and say what I've said tonight. I've had the enemy tell me everybody will call you a fanatic. Why risk 15 years of a certified ministry where people respect you but stand out like a fool? Because I can't stand here tonight honestly. It just tickle your ears. The ends of the world have come upon us. And I've always been a positive preacher. I've never preached much about judgment. Friends, you can't talk about the coming of Jesus Christ until you open your eyes and see that all that's happening around us now, the Lord is saying, look up. When you see these things begin to happen, and rejoice because your redemption draws nigh. And I bring you to my final word. When I received this vision of calamities, frightened me. And so I was just so transfixed before God. And he kept me up night after night, again last night in the middle of the night. And I asked the Lord about all these things. How are we going to do all that we're supposed to do when so many are forsaken and people are going into hiding and they're afraid the ship is sinking? What do we do, Lord? Do we abdicate? Do we turn this whole world over to the devil and just let him have his way? Do we pay off all our bills and salt away a couple reserves in the bank? Buy a little farm and escape and try to ride out the storm hoping a better day will come? You just give up? How can you look at all the tornadoes and the weather forecasts, and how can you see all the calamities that every prophet of God has predicted? How can the Christian remain sane? How can he keep his fortitude? How can he be objective? How can he be rational in an age that's falling apart? Lord, where do we stand now? So dear friend, you've got to hear what the Holy Spirit said to me. The five little words were so powerful, they awakened in me a glorious new hope and faith, and I woke up shouting. And those five little words that blazed in my heart were these: God has everything under control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what I got. All of nature is under control. We hear earthquakes, famines, pestilence, hailstorms, killer heat waves, floods, drastic weather changes are breaking all past records. It looks like nature's out of control. But God's word is clearly predicted it would happen. The wrath of God is to be outpoured on this earth to an unleashed fury of nature, because God is warning mankind that judgment is coming, and these are labor pains. And the closer we get to the birth of this kingdom, more frequent and intensive we'll get until the birth of the kingdom of God. And it was God who told Job that he shut up the sea with doors. The sea can't cross the door. He set bars and doors to stay the proud waves. God said he took hold of the ends of the earth that the wicked might be shaken out of it. Reserve the treasures of hail and snow against the day of battle. He divided the water courses for the overflow of the waters. That's the flood. He set the domain of the earth and the ordinances of heaven. He sends forth lightnings and he scatters the wind upon the earth. Who does it? God does it. Child of God, in these days to come, the Holy Spirit would say to you, don't fear the fury of nature. God is still king of the flood. And you look upon those floods, earthquakes, and hurricanes, and you say to yourself, that's my God talking. He's calling, he's chastising, and he's saying, get ready. Even the devil is under his control. As with Job, God may permit him to touch every material, physical thing around you. But you hear it? Satan cannot possess you or rob you of your faith in God. The devil's power is limited. And the Bible said even a baby Christian can put him to flight simply by resisting him through the word and the blood. The Bible said resist the devil and he will flee from you. Does that sound like defeat? Does that suggest a victorious devil? Never. God has everything under control, and we are under his control, so we are not afraid of the devil. It is the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom, and God's message is this. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. You and I and everything that touches us is now under his control. No matter how things look in this drunken world, all things are still working together to everyone who loves God, called according to his purpose. All right, let the dollar fail. Let the depression or recession come. Let there be unemployment and pollution and inflation and wars and rumors of war. Let the fabric of society disintegrate. For the true child of God, everything is under control. It doesn't matter. Nothing can harm you. He said, look up and rejoice and be happy. And in closing, the future is under his control. God has everything pre-programmed. He knows the exact moment that Christ will return. The final tribulation, the judgments, the battle of Armageddon are all on his calendar, and he's blocking them off one at a time. And the God who controls all of heaven and earth says to us, Christian, spirit-filled, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small dust in my balance. The nations of the world are just a drop in a bucket. All nations are as nothing before me. They are less than nothing. Don't worry about worldly powers. I've got it all programmed. God is still counting the hairs on her head. He's still counting the sparrows that fall. He's still hearing petitions before they're asked. He's still answering before being called. He's given abundantly more now than we could ever ask or think. So say to God, wake up. He's still saving and healing and baptizing and is getting his house in order. And to fear is to blaspheme. And now you can go over tonight and go to sleep and say to your heart, God has everything under control. No clapping, please. I'll finish my vision. The Bible said, last days you're going to listen to see visions. We'll prophesy. And you've heard a vision. Some of you read the first one in my book. And I really don't care what anybody thinks of me tonight. I'm fully convinced that what I've seen is true. But if even just a part of it is true, then we're right there. That last moment of time. But some of you aren't ready for persecution. You can't even run with a horse, what are you going to do when the flood comes? You know what? It's going to be when we stand before God, not so much that there are so many sinners, there's so many strangers. Bogged down by a love of pleasure. God's not against your campers. The surfboard, the United States. But he is against you having all these things and not enough time for him. You can sit and watch television. Come here and clap your hands and sing about the good things of God. You can sit here and share a wonderful time together. The friends, they better dawn on you soon. The ends of the world are upon us. This is the hour we've all preached about. If you're truly spirit-filled, if you're the Spirit of Christ, that bears witness with you right now. What I'm saying strikes a chord in your heart. I look at some of you dear gray-haired folks and some of you preachers here, right here. You've been preaching this for years. And I think it's the most exciting time in the world to watch the last generation unfold. We are the last Christians. And it's the most exciting thing to see. All that we've heard and read over the centuries coming to pass right before our eyes, that some of you still sitting there not knowing what's happening. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and he's getting his house in order. Hallelujah. Now, no begging, no pleading. I really don't know what the Lord has prepared for us at this moment, but I do know I have felt led of the Holy Spirit to have every young person, 21 and under, stand right now quietly. Please stand your feet. Please open these gates. Come on, young people, look me right in the eye. I've got only one ministry and one gift, and that's for young people. The gift of faith to believe God to touch your heart. I told you that the number one youth problem coming to America is hatred and bitterness toward parents. The man's enemies will be there of his own house. The children will betray their parents. And some of you are able to sing and shout and even talk in tongues. If you don't clean your room, your house, or your parents, and you have hatred and bitterness right now, that makes you a phony. You're one of those 95% Christians. You've given 95% for Jesus, but you've held back this 5%, and you can't even handle that. And I don't believe you should get just an emotional joy pop. There comes a time when you can sing and shout and praise the Lord, but there comes a time when you've got to see how apocalyptic this age is, and you say, I want to be ready for persecution. I want to be so in love with Jesus that this persecution that's coming will only drive me closer and closer to him. It'll rob you or it'll touch you. Drive you closer to him or further from him. And I tell you, things had better be right in your home. Things had better be right between you and your dad and mom. If you stand here right now, having a root of bitterness towards your dad and mom, my Bible said that'll spring up and choke you. Isn't it a shame that you would be persecuting your parents? And now we're talking of persecution. You be guilty of persecuting your parents because you say they don't understand you. And this is the ministry the Lord's laid on my heart lately. Because with all of that talk about persecution coming in our homes, the Lord has also God. He would also restore the hearts of the children to their parents, the parents to the children. There'll be a coming together for those who are sincerely asking and seeking. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to just acapella with no music. We're going to sing that beautiful chorus, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And if we love him, I want to give you an invitation to step out of this crowd, come right up on stage. You say, "David, this message touched me. I've been a phony. I've been a 95%er. There's been a root of bitterness in my heart toward my dad and mom, and I want it out tonight. I want to be a 100% Christian, and I want to be ready no matter what the hour is like. I want to face the coming of Jesus with godly assurance in my heart. I want you, while we're singing this, after I pray, to just step out of the crowd and come right up these steps and stand behind me, facing me. I'm going to ask God for a miracle tonight in this place. I'm going to ask God to raise up firebrands and put something in your heart so aflame and so bright no demon or devil in hell can touch it. Heavenly Father, we're sat under your voice, your word tonight. Your Holy Spirit is calling and working and moving. Lord, there are dozens and dozens of young people standing here right now. They're not ready for that hour of first you come to learn it, Lord, because they've been following you afar off. They've been phonies, just 95%ers, maybe 70%. But there's been a percentage that's not been yielded. And Lord, you said you want it all or nothing. No more games. No more phoniness. Oh, God, an hour of decision, of not decisions, but disciples tonight. Holy Spirit, call dozens of young people to take this walk tonight. And so I step out of this crowd to say, Jesus, here I am, consume me. Take out the roots of bitterness and anger and rebellion. Set me on fire.
Somebody says, well, I have a need in my life. Well, think about this. Look at that need in the light of the presence
you are an angel. Let God have his way. You are an angel.
Somebody
turning him loose. Oh, yeah. Keep Wonder Boy Johnson and let go and let God have his way this morning. And we thank God for the message of the day, the vision of Pastor Dave Wilkerson, way back from 1993 is what this man saw. And many of these things have come to pass. And some have come to pass and they're constantly growing. Some is growing, but it's growing undercover because the enemy don't want you to know exactly what's going on. But we're going to be over here with the word of God because we need to get in there more and see what's happening, see what's going on, and we will be all right. But I hear a lot of people, but I tell you today, we want to seek God for ourselves. Yeah, I seek him for myself because I want to know for me, yeah, and those that I share with, what's for them. And many times God will show up on the scene and bless us to know. Yeah, sometimes he will allow us to know dates and times of different things. But we have to be drawn unto him. We have to be with him. Yeah, walking in him, hearing from him. And if we don't know his voice, we don't know it's him. Sometimes God will show us things and we are ignored because we don't know. Why? We haven't been hanging around him often and long enough. We caught up in the church stuff. We caught up into our own stuff, and we missing the whole thing. But if now, if ever there was a time to draw nearer unto him, now is really and truly that time. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, because like I said, we went to bed one night, and everything appeared to be fine, business as usual. We wake up, they telling us about a coronavirus. And that thing is still around now. The COVID is still around. It didn't disappear from the face of the earth. I know people out with no masks and people doing whatever it is they're going to do. But that thing is still hanging around. And it's not hanging around for the people of God. Yeah, it's trying to get those who don't believe. Keep people in bondage and different types of things. But if we seek God with our whole heart, we are going to be blessed. Oh, yeah. Better than blessed. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Because see, that what the devil thinks, he's always cooking up something. He's always got something going on. And the scripture says over in John 10:10, I remember this. That devil come but to kill, steal, and destroy. Mm-hmm. He don't stop until he killed it. Well, he stole. Killed it, stole. And then he wanted to just tear it completely up. He wanted gone completely because it's the things of God. And it will bless people in many ways. So today we want to draw close to the Lord and stay with him. Stay with him. Stay with him. I can't help what come your way. I can't help what they said. I got to stay with God. He's the author and finisher of my faith. Hallelujah. He's faithful, ever so faithful. And look like for me, I can just count it like clockwork. I don't know. But I can ask him for something. Lord, I got to take this trip this weekend. And Lord, I don't have the money. I believe you're sending me, God. So, Lord, I need you to open a door for me. I need you to make the way. Look what happened. And bless her heart. Sister Dot was really, really trying to help me. God bless you. But guess what? He knew her heart, and he knew she was trying. But he sent that old youngest boy of mine, and I couldn't believe it. Ask him. And I just simply asked. Wasn't no big drunk. He said, Mama, your cash app is still this, and this. I said, yeah. He said, I'm doing it right now, Mama. I'm talking about with the quickness. You hear me? Right quick. That was God. That was God. That was God preparing for the trip. My friend Thelma said, I'll go with you, Barbara. I said, okay. Come on, let's go. She don't want to come back Sunday night. She want to come back Monday morning. I said, okay, I'm with that program too. because I'm taking my laptop and things, so I'll be able to do the show from there. And then it depends, y'all, on how early we get on the road. I better say that too. If we don't get on the road right away, then I'll be able to do the show from down there. And I know my grandkids want to see it, so I may do it from there. And we roll on in Jesus' name afterwards, because we got the whole day. You know, we don't have anything pressing. Brother Lewis, did it start raining down there? Because it's raining here, and I hear a little thunder. I hear a little rumbling out there. And it is raining. Mm-hmm. But we thank God. We thank God this morning that he is the author and finisher of our faith. And where we weak, he is strong. And if we'll depend on him and let him know, Lord, we're depending on you. I can't make it without you. Yeah. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The studio is open. If there's anyone who have something they would like to say, please feel free and press that number one. And I'm going to ask y'all to give me a little minute to bring, maybe tomorrow we'll bring back when God cut off men from having all them wives. Yeah. Because today I wanted to be all about Dave Wilkerson message. Yeah. And us preparing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. No one else have anything they would like to say? Well, we could go to one more song of the morning. And what's the name of the song? There is a fountain filled with blood. Lose all the gift to stay. I'm going to type that in. Well, okay, well, let's go over here and see if we can get it this way, y'all. I'm so thankful I got that the new computer up and by this afternoon. I should have everything up and working just fine. Uh-huh. But Lord, give me the name of the hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the blood. Their guilty stain. I will see if I can put it up that way. Lula, their guilty stain. See, I'm gonna see if I get it this way now. Oh yeah, let's see, do it. Yeah, I like the way he started this one off. It just blessed me. All right, let's take a listen.
You were not put on this planet to work for money. Money is meant to work for you. And unless you understand this.
All right.
Oh, have mercy. My God. Let's thank God for y'all, Esquire, Brother Isaac Carrillo, lead on that song. My God. My mind. The book of Genesis and the fourth chapter, and what an appropriate pre-sermon song. The book of Genesis and the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. Think about that. Think about it. And still it's claws beneath that blood. My mind. Say one more time this morning. Lord.
I could hear it so clear. Uh-huh. And so we thank God. Is there anyone else that have something they would like to say? If not, I will pray us out this morning, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And tomorrow will be Testify Friday. And y'all get a testimony together. Yeah, somebody get them a testimony and come on in here and tell it from beginning to end. Take your time. Don't rush. And bring that testimony forth. Because one thing about it, we never know who needs to hear it. If God did it for you, I can believe he can do it for me. Yeah, that kind of thing. So that's what we want to do. So if no one else have anything they would like to say, I would pray us out this morning. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, like I said, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your word today. But Father, it's your word that's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. And as we depart this morning, Father, bless our going out and bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives today, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask this morning that, Lord, you would open every door that needs to be opened unto your people and close every door that needs to be closed. Help us to prepare, Lord, for what's coming our way. Help us to prepare for your return. Help us to gird up the loins of our hearts and mind in you. Help us to pray more, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways. Father, help us to remember that you're always there. And if we'll keep our mind on you, Father, it's you that will keep us in perfect peace. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And Father, there's a division, there's a separation in the church. But God, I know you're going to bring the body together in your perfect timing. Help us today, Lord, to be all about you. Help us to bury this flesh, die to this flesh, so your spirit can live. There's nothing more important, Father, than you, than your word today. Help us, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And we thank you for hearing this morning. And we thank you for answering us again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, April the 7th, 2022, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. Have a blessed day. Stay out in the rain. Stay dry.
I come from Memphis, Tennessee. Little small house, big family. Seven kids and I'm the baby. But I'm grown now and I'm like, praise the Lord. Cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud. And I'm gon' take it. Ooh. I told y'all I'm gon' make it. And when I make it, I'ma bring the whole house. money, and I'm making my daddy so proud. That's where I got my sound. I know that he can hear me now, putting on for my town.
Damn
town. Now I'm gonna take it.
I'm gonna take it down.
Come from Memphis, Tennessee.